You are listening to Cafecito con Magali and Glenda podcast, a place for empowerment, fitness, beauty, music, Latino culture, and so much more. Welcome back.
Hey girl.
How you doing?
I am healthy. I am wealthy.
That's what's up.
Mantra.
Is that a song?
It's a thing. I don't know. I play it sometimes and I'm like, I am healthy. I am wealthy.
Yeah, it's a song.
Oh, it is?
Wow, yeah, like on it. The radio.
Girl, I just finished the book that I was reading for the book club and it was so good, but not as good as I thought it was going to be. I just wanted more. Now I'm expecting like these crazy ass endings. And that was it. Like, it was just an ending. And I'm like, this is supposed to be nonfiction. Give me more.
I haven't read since the last time I was telling you guys that I started reading a new book. I've just been so busy with work. I haven't made time for me. I can't wait to make me time again.
For people that are busy like you, Glenda, they can do audiobooks because then you can listen to it on your drive home.
Well, on my way to work, because I'm so busy, I pray. Coming home, I listen to music, a little bit of trap music.
Are you still having tea in the morning and meditating?
No, I don't have time. I wake up at 6 a.m. and I gotta get out of here by 8:30. And I have 2 dogs that are like kids and I have to feed them and I have to make sure that they go potty and I have to make sure that they're clean. It's like Riddick.
My mom's birthday is Sunday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Last year for her birthday, which is right before the pandemic, my dad got live music. It was 3 mariachi women, a trio. They surprised her. It was so beautiful. And I was just looking at the pictures today and I sent her some pictures. Damn, that was the last time that all the family was together like that. It just made me think of that. And it also made me really grateful my mom's around for another year. And she's the queen of my life, as I like to tell her.
Let me tell you what happened at work.
Damn, girl, you come with that energy?
Okay, so as you guys know, my office is not in the greatest neighborhood, so we do have a lot of transient. This transient comes in with bad energy, and he's like hitting his palm with something, and his energy just scares the crap out of me. So I text the lady that rents an office space for me, and I tell her if she's almost here because I'm scared. He's talking nonsense. I know he's on drugs because he's just not making any sense. He asks if he can take a seat on the couch while my phones are blowing up, and I'm like, sure. He said he was going to wait for the lady that does registration, which is the lady that rents for me. She comes into the office and she finally tells him what he wants to hear. She gets rid of him because he's obviously not making sense. She does it in the nicest way possible. She just kind of goes with the flow and she's like, yeah, yeah, just go to the cops. The cops will help you. The cops will help you. And I'm explaining to her and her sister why I was scared. And I'm explaining to them where he was sitting. And as I show them, we see that he put a Santa Muerte statue, which is like probably a foot tall, right in front of the Virgin Mary. And we freak out. Like, I didn't know what that was, but I knew that that was not good. There are so many theories on it. I'm really curious to know what our listeners are thinking about this. Like, a lot of people said that it's a curse. A lot of people are saying that he's just on drugs. A lot of people are saying that he was sent. It's just interesting. I didn't even know this was a huge religion and it had a huge following. I had no idea. Did you?
Something that's from Cuba? Or am I thinking of Santeria?
I'm not sure.
Actually, no. I'm mistaken. I'll take that back. Is anything unusual happened since that day?
No.
Anything like still off in the office?
No. And I'm not like giving it like energy like that. So no.
You don't believe in it. So yeah. I think you're good. Well, let's get right into the episode. Today, we have a friend on the podcast. She's a Reiki master, breathwork teacher, woman circle facilitator, and founder of The Wonder Flow. With an open heart, please welcome Steffi Garcia.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yay, and it's great to finally meet you.
Yeah.
So first, let's start how you two know each other.
We're neighbors.
Yeah. I don't know how we started talking and then we just hit it off. But there was a lot of highs, buys for lots of times. I think one time I was sitting out here in the front of the house and you walked by and I started talking to you about the podcast.
Yeah, actually, yeah, we were like just nice and polite neighbors that would say hi and bye. And that's it. It was actually during the quarantine and pandemics in the summer. And you guys were hanging out a lot on the on your porch. I remember I used to feel really bad because I felt like I should be friends with you guys. You used to live with Andrea at that time. Mm-hmm. And also it was like a very isolated time where, you know, just being friends with your neighbors would be very helpful, right?
Yeah, yeah, so definitely.
I remember I kind of said hi and we just kind of started talking and your podcast came up very quickly because I said, let's get together. And you said, oh yeah, but something about your podcast recording. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my gosh, you have a podcast. That's so cool. I've been wanting to have a podcast forever and I never do it because I never feel like I'm ready and I can do it. And you were just saying how you just kind of went for it. Mm-hmm. And since the first time I was like, I admire this girl. That's inspiring. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And that's how it started our friendship. And now, yeah, like you said, we hit it off and it's a new friendship, but it's really nice. And I feel really connected with you in many ways.
Yeah, me too. I'm very glad that the quarantine happened. Otherwise, maybe we would never have the opportunity because we were always like in and out on the go. Elsewhere.
Yes, totally. Yes. It's one of those things that it made us value more like the people that we have around and just kind of like do things that you've never done, like me talking with my neighbor.
So when Steffi told me about herself, she was like, yeah, I do Reiki and breath work and women's circle. When you invited me to one of the women's circle, I could not stop talking about it. I told Daisy and she joined for one of them. I was telling Glenda like, oh my gosh, I had this great women's circle and it was amazing. We'll go back to you. Tell us how this all happened and how your spiritual journey led you to where you are now.
Yes. I feel like if I'm going to tell my story, I would start with me arriving to LA. It's going to be 10 years ago on this fall in September. It's going to be my 10th year anniversary, which is crazy. I can't believe it. So much has passed already. I moved in from Guadalajara, which is in Mexico, where I was born and raised. But I moved here because I wanted to pursue a career in acting. At that time, the best idea of seemed to be LA. And it's funny because I never really dreamed of living here at all. Even though I always was very attracted to that, it was in my last year of college that I really realized that I didn't want to do what I was studying for, which was PR, public relationships. And I realized that's not what I wanted to do. And I sort of kind of asked myself, the big question is like, what is your dream? Like, what is your dream job? And my dream job was to be a performer and to be a storyteller. So anyways, I got here. I've been doing that, you know, all this time. First few years were a lot of leaps and a lot of goals met. And I was just kind of like doing and going and I grew and I did a lot of the things that I intended to. But there was a time after like 4 or 5 years, obviously acting is not an easy career and there's a lot of challenges and there's a point where you can do well, but the next step it's to really big, you know, like it's like the big thing. It's that little like huge leap from doing well and doing great. And I sort of got stuck in that doing well. And it was in that process of really being obsessed, trying to make it and trying to get the next thing and trying to book the next job and not really doing nothing else on the side that really got me a little out of control and got a little depressed. And then it ended up being a very huge depression that it lingered little by little. After a while, I sort of lost myself in this dream and in this idea that I was pursuing and that I was kind of going for. I've always suffered from a lot of anxiety and this career didn't help that. And I also sort of lost a sense of what I was doing and why I was doing it, which I feel like it's a very important thing for all of us to not lose sight of. And I totally did. I've always been very spiritual, but I used to practice my spirituality more in a religious way. You know, I was born and raised Catholic, like a lot of Latinos and Mexicans. I was very into that. Like I was part of a religious youth group back in Mexico, and I was used to go to retreats and missions and just very involved in the church, Bible classes. And I was very very spiritual in that way. And it worked for me for such a long time. Even by living here in LA, I used to go to the church that's actually in the corner. And I used to go and people were like, what are you doing going to mass? Like, why are you going to church? But I would love to go because that was a place where I really felt like I belonged and I could make that connection with my higher power, which is God. That worked for a while, but I've also been very into self-help. And I've always, and I started obviously being exposed to different takes of spirituality through yoga. You know, when you start practicing yoga, there's this other wave. And then you start reading certain books. I live in LA. You end up going to a meditation class and you go to a meditation class and there's like, oh, mindfulness and Buddhism. And so I started being exposed to all of these other different ways to be spiritual until I got to a point where that was resonating more with me. And long story short, there was a lot of levels in my own process. Obviously, I think the first thing that got me into this journey was my mental health, you know, and my emotional health. I wasn't doing good. I wasn't on the right place. And I think it really triggered everything when my boyfriend moved in, we started living together. There was a lot of things that started coming up. And it was obvious that I needed to take my responsibility on it. And I needed to take care of myself. I started, you know, going to therapy, you know, all the basics of mental and emotional health, you know, you start going to therapy, and then your therapist, you know, gives you this book to read. And then this book to read gives you this idea and this practice. And I went to this self-help group, a support group. It was like Codependent Anonymous. And then I started realizing that, oh my gosh, I have all these codependency traits and I have all these emotional baggage that I was carrying from since I was very young. And a lot of things that we don't like to admit and we don't like to talk about. And it gave me so many truths that I needed to start facing. It took for me a veil from my eyes and I started seeing all these things. And one thing led to another, really. Then the big breakthrough happened around that time that I was going to all these things. You know, I was doing yoga. I was doing my spiritual practice in that way. And I was going to therapy and I was going to this group. I was learning all these things. And then I ran into this awesome meditation studio here close to our house here. And it's in Studio City. And that's when it clicked. You know, I started going to this place and I got obsessed with it. And I went to all of the classes. Sometimes I would take two classes a day, one in the morning, one at night, sometimes two in a row. And all of these classes were all the things that I'm also like actually kind of sharing. You know, it was mindfulness classes and Reiki guided meditations. And I experienced my first women's circle there, breathwork class there. There was all these different classes. They were very woo-woo classes, like crystal meditation and, you know, like aromatherapy meditation and Reiki meditation. And I would take them all. And what started to happen with me was that by sitting down in this precious place, allowing the silence of meditation really take place in myself, things just started to shift. It was like perfect medicine, you know? It was just like so transformational. And it was little by little, very subtle. If you spend a specific amount daily on a regular basis, cultivating mindfulness and silence and really allowing yourself to be in the moment, it makes changes. So what started to happen is that I started to have a breakthrough, you know, an awakening, how many people started it. And I don't love that expression of awakening because it can be a little, you know, depending on how people, some people don't resonate with it, but it was like as if I was living as a zombie, you know, and I was just kind of going through the motions of who I was supposed to be and what I was supposed to do and what dream and path I chose and I had to do it and what was expected from me. And then suddenly I was there really kind of seeing things from another perspective, also going deep in, you know, there's a lot of things that we have inside that aren't great, that aren't pretty, that aren't easy. And just having the courage to sit with them. So that started happening. And there was days that I would go out from that place and be flying and, you know, feeling in a beautiful halo of light and magic. And there were days that I would literally go into my car and bawl for 20 minutes until I was able to drive again. And I would just cry and cry and let it all go. There were days that I would have to come back to the house and put myself a bubble bath and kind of just like calm down. That would happen a lot after breath work because breath work is intense. But there are all these things that I started experiencing. And after a while of giving myself and nurturing myself at this time, the calling started happening. It was like, ooh, I love what this teacher is doing. I love what this person is facilitating to me. You know, I want to learn it. I want to be able to do this in my house on my own. It started with me, mostly with the Reiki. Reiki was something that I felt the call and I never thought I was going to be sharing with others. I was like, I want the Reiki for me. I want to give it to me all the time. This is awesome. And then other things like breathwork, it was like, holy shit, people need to do this. Like every single breathing person need to breathe this way because they will, whoa, it's awesome. And then eventually also with the women's circle was actually the first time I heard my inner voice, which we all have, was on a women's circle. The first women's circle that I went, it was a full moon on August 2019. And I was there. The girl who was facilitating it, she's an actress. So I think I resonated even most with her because she was talking about how she was doing this and that. And for me, it was like, oh, so you can do this and that at the same time, because I was obsessed. I was like, no, I'm an actress. I'm going to only do this. And there I was, obviously not being fulfilled by only doing that. I needed to do more things that were fulfilling. You know, now I've learned that I don't have to just be one thing. I can be others. I can complement one thing with another, but I didn't know that back then. So anyways, back to the women's circle, she was presenting the circle, not even starting the ritual yet. I literally heard a voice in my heart saying, you're going to do this. This is what you were supposed to do. And I went out that place knowing that I was going to do them, not knowing when or how, because I knew that I needed to find somebody to teach me how to do them. But I knew I was going to do them. The first certification I ever thought got was the Reiki one. Like I said, it started just doing it to me and obviously my closest friends and family. The second one started actually last year in March with the women's circles. Honestly, the women's circles have been, it's like the gasoline of the Wonder Flow right now, or like just the power because I started just learning more and more and more things. The Reiki, I did 3 levels. I'm already like Reiki master. And then on summer, I did breath work and all these things. But the one thing that I did from the get-go was the women's circles. Because again, I already knew it. I already had permission from my soul. You know, I already heard the message saying, this is what you're going to do. And it was the most natural and easy thing to do. So I've been doing women's circles ever since June. And I've been holding circles every month, both in English and Spanish, because that's the whole idea of what I'm doing and what I'm offering, and also what the Wander Flow is going to be about, to do everything English and Spanish, because why choosing one? You know, yeah. I'm Spanglish. I'm a Spanglish person. I am a combo of both. So I'm doing it both. You've been part of a few of them and they're powerful. They're powerful. Even for women who are like, no, I don't think that's going to be for me. There's something magical about them. And there's something magical of all of these spiritual practices. You know, there's some practices that people resonate more with. These are the ones that I've resonated, you know, meditating, breath work, women's circles. Those are the ones I resonated with. But obviously there's more. The thing with these things is that they really do connect us. And that's what's all about, to find practices that allows us go to those spaces and places inside of us that makes us feel whole.
Steffi, you mentioned you heard a voice that told you that you were meant to do the woman's circle, that's what you're going to do. You said that was your inner voice, mm-hmm. or was it your higher power?
It was my inner voice, but how I understand it, or how I personally like to see it, is that my inner voice, it's intertwined with my higher power. A way that my higher power connects or communicates to me, it's through that, you know, through that place, through that space, and through that voice.
Steffi, for those that don't know what a woman's circle is, can you tell us what it is and what happens there, and just explain to us like a little history about it?
Yes, of course. Women's circles are a practice that have been going on since ancient times. You know, there's actually an historic precedent where many different cultures in many different parts of the world have been part of them. It's almost engraved in our bones and soul, you know, because we as women, we've done this for centuries. The whole idea of a women's circle, it's to really connect with ourselves through the bondage of sisterhood, or through the bondage with other women. Use each other as reflections of each other, basically. I've been in a few women's circles, and I have to say, each women's circle, it's so unique and different. There are different themes, and there are different ways to celebrate a women's circle. A lot of them are aligned with the lunar cycles. I like to do them like that, full moon circles, new moon circles, but it doesn't have to be related with the moon. It can only be whatever, you know, theme and an intention, and you gather with that. What I can say is that my women's circles always about really providing a safe space for women to come up fully as they are, really authentic and vulnerable, for them to feel that they can be themselves. No pretensions, no masks, no to-dos, like just come in, be present. I feel like one of the most important things of a women's circle is the full presence of yourself. Fully see the other women, fully listen and witness what the other women's sharing, what your sister's sharing. Through that practice of presence and listening, you receive so much. Well, one of my teachers from women's circles used to say, the circle itself, it's medicine. It has its own medicine. And there's no circle that repeats itself. Like each one, it's very unique. I don't even have a control of how a circle is going to come up, because the circle is really weaved by each in one, which each woman that comes, you know, so it's going naturally, it's going to be different, you know, and what everybody brings. And the more vulnerable you're allowed to yourself to be, the more powerful it is for others. What we do on circle, on my circles, you know, we usually always, it's like a very nice, beautiful ritual, even if it's virtual. I mean, obviously when it's in person, there's all these other factors that make it so special. But even, and I don't know, you're not gonna let me lie, Magali, but it's also very, very powerful. It feels like you are actually part of a ritual. You know, there's all these little ritualistic elements that I like to bring. We meditate, we connect with ourselves. We always do some grounding meditation. I always have a theme where that I kind of present, and we explore. And we also talk about, we share about how is this specific theme in our lives? You know, how are we feeling? We do intimate sharing. We do fully listening, no judgment. One of the agreements of circle is that we don't give feedback.
I love that.
And it's so liberating, because you're not going to say something and somebody's going to be like, no, but it's like you talk and that's it.
Yeah. Nobody's going to give you their opinion. No one's going to give you their 2 cents. You say what you want to say, and they hear you, they listen to you, they acknowledge you. And that's it. Like, it feels good. Like, you want to get something off your chest. That's the place to do it.
Exactly. That's part of the magic and the medicine of circle, because we're in a life where even you can't even do anything without people liking or not liking or commenting, or like our lives are based on almost this social media pattern. So this is one of the freest things about the circle, that we don't give feedback unless asked. But usually that's not something that happens, because we're just there, like you said, to just be and express, allow ourselves to be fully seen and heard. Also, we accept the differences. You know, I always say circles are sacred. And even if we don't agree with the other women and how they're feeling or what they're doing or whatever they're sharing, that's fine. That's their truth. You mind your truth. Yeah. And that's a very cool thing, because that makes us be responsible for our own feelings and our own experiences. I don't have to mind for whatever is going on her, for her. I just need to mind for whatever it's going on with me. Besides that, we also engage always in movement. And I always do also like a special closing ritual where I always say, like, I like women to take a little souvenir. Sometimes it's physical, or sometimes it's energetical, or sometimes it's like a piece of homework or whatever, but really not let the experience of circle and the medicine of circle just stay there. Cause sometimes that happens. We go to something, we experience it, it's awesome, but then we leave and we forget and we're already like blah, 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 with our lives. Mm-hmm. So just kind of take something that reminds you the work you did there. It makes it more available for you to integrate it in your life.
I have a question. You said you do Spanish and English. Do you do two separate women's circles? Like one completely English and one completely in Spanish?
Yes. Yes, that's what I do. I really try to do them on the same day, but sometimes I do it even in different days. I would do one in the morning early and one in the afternoon, or one in the morning and then the other one in the evening. Yes, it needs to be completely different. Also, this is what I've been doing with women's circles, but what I'm doing right now and what I intend to do with the Wonder Flow, which is also something that I just recently launched. So this podcast interview couldn't come at the better moment, because it's all very new and it's all like just flowing right now. Finally, I've been working on this for so long and it's like finally flowing. But everything that I will offer, whether are the guided meditations, the breathwork classes, the women's circles, it's going to be both in English and in Spanish. And I will always give the time and day for each language. I keep saying to the people in Instagram so far on all the things that I've been posting, it's like, just tune in to the language that better works for you, you know, because I do have my whole like life. It's half of people that only speak English and half of people that speak Spanish. Some of them might understand English, but I still have a lot of people that don't necessarily understand English. So that's why I was like, yes, I want to give this for both worlds, both ways.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of that. I don't think there is options, you know, for a lot of people that speak Spanish. So I think that's wonderful. You mentioned you're a Reiki master. I don't know what that is. And I'm sure I know what breathwork is and I know what guided meditation is. That was very new that Maggie was talking about. So I was wondering if you can go into that.
Of course. Reiki is a energy healing modality. It's actually very popular these days, but the way that I can define it, it's Reiki is the life force energy. So basically a person like me who's attuned to this energy becomes a channel of the energy. It flows through us and out of our hands, and we pass it through our hands to the person, thing, or even animals. Everything can receive Reiki, everything. So sometimes I do it to my plants, or sometimes I do it to, obviously, to my dog. And so, and to the, basically we transfer the Reiki energy through our hands, through the recipient. And it's actually a very subtle energy, and it really does promote well-being, balance, harmony, and healing in all levels of being. So this is emotionally, physically, spiritually, and energetically. You know, it really does. It's very benevolent. It meets you wherever you are. So if you're receiving it, the only thing that somebody who's going to receive it needs to do is to be open and not even believe in it or like trust on it, or it's not like that. It's just be open to receive it, and then Reiki will do. There's this thing that I love, because I've never heard this phrase in another context, but I love that One of the ways to describe Reiki is that it has a natural intelligence. And I love it because that means that the energy will literally meet the person who's receiving it wherever they are. Some of the benefits some of them are actually proven. And there's some science already behind Reiki because it's been out for a while. And I remember in my manual, when I was learning this, there was a lot of scientific, I mean, I don't have them here, of course, but if anybody's interested on them, please do reach out and I will share them with you guys. There are a lot of science-based things that talk about how this energy works. Some of the benefits are really does promote deep relaxation. The brain goes to this alpha state, which is a state of deep relaxation, the one that we experience right before we're going to sleep. So it's actually very common for a person when it's receiving Reiki that it will fall asleep. Sometimes people even snore, but they don't even realize. It's just so subtle. Promotes relaxation. It also helps with a lot of your energy. And that's because it works directly with your energy centers. We actually, as practitioners, work specifically on your chakras. For people that aren't familiar with them, there are our energy centers, and we have 7 throughout our body. Each chakra is connected with different body parts and organs and different bodily functions. So whenever I'm doing Reiki in a specific chakra, it's benefiting all of these things that are connected with it. Proven benefits that also helps with pain. It helps clear out a lot of emotions, stagnant emotions. Just like, it's a very, very complete combo of benefits that you receive when you receive Reiki. And the last thing I want to say that some of the things that you can experience while receiving it, some people don't experience anything at all. My boyfriend, it's sort of like that. He loves me to give him Reiki, but he never actually has but it's nothing profound, you know, or remarkable. But then there's people, and I would love you, Maggie, to also kind of share what you experienced when I've done Reiki to you, because it's been a few times too. But the other thing that happens is that some people don't experience anything. And I always say, don't worry if you don't feel anything, because that doesn't mean that this isn't working or not. Some other things, like I said, people relax very deeply. Sometimes they fall asleep. Sometimes they snore. Sometimes there's a big urgency of laughing and you just want to laugh. And actually, I was doing it to a cousin of mine when I was just practicing, when I started, and I could see he was like kind of like retaining a chuckle. I forgot to tell him that that was normal. And then he's like, I just wanted to laugh. But I was like, you should have done it. No, because I didn't want you to feel that I was laughing at you. I was like, I was not going to feel that. But that's one of the things that happened. And that happens with breathwork as well, actually. Funny thing. The ways that our body releases stagnant emotions, sometimes it's through laughter. Sometimes it's through crying. You know, sometimes people start crying. Sometimes they feel tingling. They can be a shift on body temperature, sometimes inclining to shivers and cold, sometimes starting like a hot flash sweat. There's all these different things that you can experience, and it's definitely very unique. And the last level of it, it's when you really go into that state and you start experiencing in a more imagery, where you start seeing, or like almost daydreaming. That's another thing that can happen, but that's not as common. But these are one of the most common things.
I wanted to share my experience. So my second Reiki session with you was very profound, and things came up that I didn't mention. But when you were working the chakras that you were mentioning, and you start at the crown of the head, Sefi told me that she had to dedicate extra time on my throat. And my throat chakra meant that I needed to speak my truth. There was something that I wasn't saying. And I was going through some stuff during that time that it was very accurate, even though I had not mentioned it to Steffi. You said, like, I spent a lot of time in your throat chakra, like everything was good. And then it was stuck there. And I found that very interesting because it was like something that I was feeling, but I was almost, you know, when you're going through something, you're like, no, it's okay. It's okay. And you kind of just push it aside. But I obviously was holding on to it. That was my experience with it. I felt very cold too. The temperature in my body changed. I also felt relieved afterwards. You guided me through meditation, and there's like music, and you're walking me through. I felt like I was in a deep profound like state of relaxation, not where I was asleep. My imagination was going wild, and I don't normally meditate on my own. It's really hard for me to do that. But when I do it through a guided meditation with you, I've done it in the women's circle and through Reiki, it happens for me. I am able to like take myself wherever I need to. And it's always for me, it's always the ocean or greenery, water dripping. And I remember the music that you were playing had sounds of water driplets. And I had taken a shower that day. So when I was laying down, my hair was wet.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And you told me to release whatever I was holding on to release it through any part of my body. And my mind just went there. Like I was in the ocean and I was swimming and it was beautiful and blue. And in real life, I don't know how to swim. I felt peaceful and I felt great. But then when you were telling me to release what I was holding on to, the water got dark. And then it starts to get a little scary. But whatever I had to release, I released it through my hair. And so when we were done, my hair was wet. It was just this out of body experience where it's almost like lucid dreaming. Like it's real, but you're dreaming, but it feels so real. And that's what it felt like for me. So after, you know, after we were done and you kind of explained to me like what you felt and going into it, I was really like shocked because I'm like, oh my gosh, there's things that you knew without me telling you. And after we were done, I felt so relieved. And this was the same feeling that I had after the women's circle. And I also wanted to share my experience with that. I had never gone to a women's circle, but I feel like I'm very spiritual myself. And I've been going through like a self-help and spiritual journey for many years, meditating and anything that's related to what we're talking about today, like it's my jam. And you mentioned that place that you went to and did the classes. I went to the Den in Studio City one time and I took a sound bath. And I went that day because I was just going through some stuff. I needed to just go and do something to release whatever I was feeling. The sound bath was incredible. I thought like, I need to come back to this place. So going back to the women's circle, I did not know what to expect, but everybody that was there was so open and just poured themselves out. Just being there, witnessing that made me feel I can also open up to like, this is a safe space for me to tell everybody how I was feeling. You did a guided meditation and the guided meditation brought up things for me that I didn't even know like I had. Like I showed up to the circle feeling good, like I'm good, my life is good. But once we went through the guided meditation, all this stuff came up that I was holding on to since I was a child and that I held on to. And it was affecting me, but in a different way. It was showing up in different ways. So just discovering things that are from my past that somehow come up in my current life was insane to me. Then I want to work on it. And you give journaling prompts. And I really like that, to journal and write it out. And that's very helpful. Yeah, I love that. It's very helpful because then it makes me really dig, seek, and really look inward. Because there's a lot of things that are suppressed. There's a lot of things that are built up that I'm like, they're okay. But then it's not okay. And I'm tense in my shoulders and I just carry it around and everything is fine. Oh, everything's okay. And I'm always worried about everybody else. Like that's the type of person that I am. I'm like, are you good? Are you good? Are you good? But then I always forget about myself. So
But that's the thing, because I mean, you said so many things and I sort of want to like talk about all of them too, just to continue what you were just saying. That's the thing. We all have those things, you know, we all have suppressed things or things that we don't even realize they're a thing and they're there. And we just kind of pass them through. And they're all stuck in there. And there we wonder, and then we wonder, why am I feeling so sluggish? Why don't I have energy? Why am I so,
everybody's
like,
annoying.
Like why I'm so disconnected. Why I'm so hectic. Why I'm so, why do I have headaches? Why do I have stomach aches? Why do I have this shoulder pain and back pain? Hello. We are carrying all this junk and we never take care of it. In our houses, we have trash, but we take them out. But every week, this trash can takes it out. In our body functions, there's a whole system that takes all the junk from my digestive issue. We eliminate. And there's all these things that we do we brush our teeth and we brush our, like we shower, we're cleansing and purging all these things. But what about our energetical bodies and our emotional bodies and our emotional beings? We're not taking care of them. So what happens is that when we go, when we sign up for an experience that really brings us to this place, whether it's, again, a meditation or a sound bath. I forgot about the sound baths. Oh my gosh, they were awesome in the den too. I miss them so much. But whether it's a sound bath or a meditation or a women's circle or a workshop, sometimes even a bubble bath, sometimes a book and like tea. When we nurture our souls in our inner beings, I call them our inner being, but there's all these different ways we can call it. Things happen, you know, things bubble up and things release. And that makes a huge difference. That's why all the women that experience the women's circle leave the circle relief and lighter. They all, because I always close the circle saying, how are you leaving? Like, how, what are you taking it from?
We leave it there.
Every single time, everybody's like, I feel much lighter. I feel much better. I just feel a release and I feel happier and I feel connected, because it doesn't take that much to nurture your soul, to nurture your inner life and being. And for me, this is the biggest thing. This is the biggest lesson that I have learned. And now I sort of want to share through my experience and through all of the things that I have gathered along, you know, that the, which now, like, I really took it very serious. And now I'm certified to all, to share all these things, right? And make it a thing. But this is what the Wonder Flow, it's all about, you know, to hold the space for people to connect with themselves. It can be this way or the other. It could be through this or through that. But just make the space to purge your energetical body and your emotional body. This is why, and that's why specifically I kind of mentioned my journey started, I was anxious and depressed. And I had to go to a psychologist, you know, I had to go to a therapy. Things trigger. This is like an effect, a domino effect. That's how it happened to me. You know, one thing led to another. Feeling very lost and disconnected and depressed and anxious brought me to therapy. Therapy brought me to this group that was very beneficial. And this group brought me to meditating again. And meditating again brought me to a deep healing journey. And this deep healing journey brought me to listen to my voice. And my voice guided me to go for the Reiki, to go for the breath work, to go for the women's circles. And then the women's circles literally brought me into taking it to another level, you know, and creating the Wonder Flow. And here I am not too long ago. It's been a year, but honestly, what a year, right? This year was like a decade, 2020. It's been so deep and transformational. And it's no wonder, like, a lot of people are doing this. We're all going through it. I am part of it. And the Wonder Flow is the result of that as well. But like, it just, it's been a journey. And now I'm telling you very simple, oh, this brought me to this and this brought me to that. But it's been hard. There were days that I could barely leave my bed, and quarantine didn't help. Quarantine encouraged you to stay in bed. The spiritual journey, it doesn't have to be as hard, but it's not as easy. It's a roller coaster. Roller coasters, there's parts, there's like, woohoo! And there's parts where you feel like your heart's going out, and there's parts that you feel dizzy, and there's parts that you feel scared. It's a whole process, but it's really allowing ourselves to go through the process, to face what needs to be faced, to heal what needs to be healed. Sometimes healing can be fun. And honestly, I'm finally starting to get into a place where it's getting fun. But sometimes healing, it's going to be tedious and painful and hard. And it's a choice. Do you want to go it through it or not? Do you want to face it and release it? Or do you want to keep making like, oh, no, that's fine. You know, to finalize my point, when you're talking about your experience with Reiki or your experience with the women's circle, these are obviously practices that have resonated with you. And that helped. And this is what these tools are for, really, to be a bridge, to be a vessel between you and your soul, really. We're living lives completely disconnected. We're not just people in bodies. And we're not just people in bodies that we need to clothe, that we need to shower, that we need to feed. We're also souls. We're also energy. And the thing is that everybody's so worried about the bodily part, about the material stuff, about the tangible stuff. But we forget about the other stuff, the other part, that it's completely our other half, our soul, our energy. I think we're moving to a part of existence in this world where more and more people are just realizing this. And this is why all of these practices are getting more and more trendy, and they're being more than ever being practiced. This is what I think about this matter. I got a little on a roll there, so I'm just going to zip it. Perfect. Let you talk.
That was good. I loved it. I loved everything you said.
A lot of people are suffering of mental health and loss and COVID. It just hit our country so hard. Healing is a journey that everybody should invest in, because I'm sure people that are listening to this are skeptical about Reiki and skeptical about Woman's Circle. You know, for various reasons, some people could be like, oh, I'm religious, I don't believe in that, or I'm uncomfortable. Like, what would you say to somebody that embarrassed or they're not sure, or they're just a skeptical? Like, what would you say to them about what we just talked about earlier?
Well, I think the first thing is that it's totally normal and fine to be skeptical and to not trust a practice, a tool, a technique that you're not familiar with. That's so totally normal. Again, I just mentioned I was raised Catholic, and a lot of the things that I do and I believe in right now and I practice, you know, were no-nos in my religion. You know, we're like, you're playing with fire, you're opening doors, this might be a sin, you might be upsetting God. And we were born and raised on this idea so naturally. When we're exposed to these things, it's like no, you know. If you're not ready for them, that's totally fine, you know. If you are curious about them, go for it. Lean in. A lot of the magic and a lot of the change happens in out of our comfort zone. And a lot of our breakthroughs start with curiosity. That's what it started me. You know, I was curious about things. I was curious about this. I was curious about that. One of the ways to approach this spiritual path or these spiritual practices that aren't as traditional. What happens, we want to go through a path that is not as traditional. Better way to approach it is with non-judgment. Just try to be curious, try to be non-judgmental and experience it. You know, experience it. And if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. That's totally fine. But at least you tried. And what if it does work? My breathwork teacher used to say, this doesn't have to be your thing, but if it is, it might really change your life. I think that's a good approach. Come in, and that's what he would always say to every single person who took his class of breathwork. Hey, this doesn't have to be your thing, but if you try it and it works, it might change your life. And that's a great approach to everything. Don't have a pressure. Don't have an expectation. All those things really sabotage us. Honestly, I never thought the first time I went to the den, that place was going to bring so much change into my life. Like, I never, that it was going to completely shake my life and give me a new path, because this is a new path for me. Come and join me. Come and join me to this flow. Come and join me to this path. Mm-hmm. I might be a few steps ahead. I might have a few more tools on my thing, but let me share them to you. If that happened to me and I didn't got really into the whole acting part of my life and my obsession with it and how rigorous I was with it. But a lot of the people that might heard this that know me from before, they're going to be like, what? What's the thing that some people have reached out to me like, what are you into now? Like, what's going on? Aren't you doing that? And it's funny because people are like, oh, you're not this, so now you're that. It's like, can I be both? Can I explore both? That's my invitation to everyone. You can be Catholic and get Reiki, and that's fine. You can be Jewish and meditate with a Hindu mantra. You can be different. There's no right or wrong. And if you approach this work and this path, and if you approach your life, really, I mean, I'm no one to tell you how to approach your life, but if we approach our lives with this idea of openness and curiosity and non-judgment, things might shift. This might be part of the medicine with everything, not only the spiritual path. There's all these other subjects to address in life. I'm here to talk about this spirituality and about how these tools help us on this way. Just came up the other day with this phrase when I was working on the website, going to be launched very soon as well. I needed like a phrase that complement the Wonderflow concept. And I came up with riding the waves of our soul. The whole idea for me with the Wonderflow, it's that we have an infinite source of love, of light, of wisdom, of guidance all within us. We were told that we needed to find our answer somewhere else. But the truth, the actual truth is that they're already inside. But there's so much things in between our heart and soul, our mind and soul, our gut and soul, that we lose the connection with it. We still get hunches and gut feelings. If we start purging and releasing all this clutter and gunk, we start really experiencing a better connection with that. And that's for me what the Wonderflow is about, really. Connecting with that source inside of us, which this source intimately connected with divinity. And I say divinity because that's very open. Like, I'm not saying God, this, that, this. What's divinity for you? What is divine for you? That's what our soul and heart is connected with. We need to remember to ride the waves of our soul. That way, everyone has their own unique flow. Everyone has their own unique rhythms. Everyone has their own unique essence. But we're disconnected. My purpose is to help people reconnect with that. Try to connect with your soul because that's where all the beauty comes from. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, but find your ways, find your tools, find your practices. And if any of these tools that I'm talking about here today resonate with you, please do join me in the Wonderflow. And thank you so much for inviting me and for inviting me to share all these things with you guys and your people, because this is what I live for now.
We have to trust the journey and trust our process. You coming to LA wasn't a coincidence. You wouldn't have came here. You wouldn't have gone to the den. You wouldn't have run into this spiritual journey that you're into. I wouldn't have met you either. So everything is connected. Everything's happening before we even know it. You just have to trust the process, trust the journey, move forward.
Totally. That's another episode, guys. The connections of the journeys. Because I'm sure that if we were to talk about where are we today and how we came about to be here today the way we are, whether we're in a good place or a bad place, everything is interconnected. Even the bad things that happen to us have a deeper purpose. And I know that it's sometimes it's cheesy to see it like that, but yeah, everything has its place in life to serve you. This very popular phrase, you know, life is not happening at you, it's happening for you. It takes work to actually understand that.
Yeah, I go a lot of times, I use the phrase, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Like it's engraved in my iPad, because sometimes we're like, I have to do this, I have to be here, but you have to stay in that moment and be like, I'm supposed to be here right now. This very moment, we're supposed to talk about what we're talking about. And this is going to change. You did amazing. There were so many things, like, I just was nodding my head, like, yeah, girl. I didn't want to interrupt you. I just wanted you to keep going. So thank you so much for taking the time to come and chat with us. And then I know your website hasn't launched, but you do, has the Instagram launched?
Yes, I do have an Instagram, which is the_Wonderflow. We can connect through there, and the website's coming in the next week or so. So stay tuned. I do have a women's circle planned for next Saturday, March 13th. I will be sharing the exact times there, because there's going to be two different times for the Spanish and the English. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening, but definitely keep in touch. Stay tuned.
Congratulations on the Wonderflow, Steffi. I know you've been working really hard on it. So I'm just looking forward to it blossoming, and it's going to be amazing. This whole conversation made me think that there's no price for our mental health or our healing. There really isn't. So yeah. I think it's really important to heal the way that you need to and ways that you can, like you said, like whatever tools, whatever is your way. Anybody is interested in anything that Steffi talked about today, please reach out to her. The Instagram handle is the_wonderflow.
Yes. The other one without the underscore was tanking, damn it. More complicated, but yes, with me. And also, we didn't talk much about breath work. I knew we were going to run out of time, but it's also a very cool thing. But I am posting a lot of videos explaining exactly what everything is. Thank you. Thank you. It was a wonderful talk.
Thank you.